Friends, when life gets tough, we all need a little encouragement. And sometimes we can't find that encouragement from the people around us. But we will always find it in the Lord. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages."
Amen.
Amen. When life gets hard, we can find strength in the Lord. I was reading about a fellow named Andrew Brunson. He's a pastor of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church in North Carolina for 20 years. While he was the pastor there, he had also spent 20 years in Turkey. He had a quiet but deep ministry there until 2016, when after a failed military coup, the government arrested him along with other journalists, activists, military officials, and others. The Turkish government labeled Brunson a spy. Brunson was held for more than a year without charges. He spent nearly 2 years in prison, often enduring long trial sessions. At one point, it looked like he would spend years, even decades, in a Turkish prison. And finally, after pressure from the American government, Brunson was released from prison and returned to the United States. Long after that, while speaking at the Wheaton College Chapel, Brunson said that he did not feel God's overwhelming presence during his stay in prison. Instead, he experienced something even deeper. Brunson said, "I completely lost the sense of God's presence. God was silent, and he remained silent for 2 years. Brunson said, "There were some who go into the valley of testing and some who do not make it out. I," he said, "was broken. I lay there alone in my solitary cell. I had great fear, terrible grief, and I was weeping. And the thought going through my mind was, where are you, God? Why are you so far away?" Remember, I said he was a pastor. Don't you love the times, friends, in your life when you're enjoying God's blessing and experiencing God's joy? Oh, we just feel like dancing on the ceiling. We are so pumped. Don't you just love it when you love the life you live? And then there are those other times, times when life is challenging, when it is a drudgery and hard work, when you have to search for happiness. And this leads to depression, which is a serious condition. We don't need to judge depressed people. Any number of things can weigh a person down to a point where they lose hope. And even those of us who aren't depressed have to admit there are times when we struggle with maintaining happiness. Now, how do you know if you're depressed, struggling, and wondering where is God? Well, Dr. Wayne Oates, who is a clinical psychiatrist, he asked 10 questions, and he said, if your answer is yes to some of these 10 questions, chances are you are someone who is discouraged and depressed. Let me read the questions. Don't blurt out your answer. Because you know. Have you lost all initiative in relating to other people? Do you experience repeated crying spells for no apparent reason? Have you persistently, over the time, awakened suddenly and was unable to fall asleep for over an hour? Do you awaken in the morning feeling tired and face the day with dread? Do you feel pain in an unspecific kind and aching all over? Do you find yourself thinking about your own death, wishing life were over? Do you breathe irregularly, sigh repeatedly, and feel heavy in the chest? Do you distrust your own wisdom, have trouble making decisions, or feel generally helpless? 9, do you find yourself irritable, angry, without any reason? 10, do you have trouble being enthusiastic about anything? Now, if you answered yes to maybe one, you're struggling, brother. You're struggling, my dear sister. I've said yes to some of these questions. Now, when you think about our brother or Pastor Andrew Brunson, you think, man, he's not just a weak Christian. He's like me. Friends, if you are struggling in any way, be comforted that you are not alone. Some of the sweetest, most God-fearing, spirit-filled Christians, believers, go through it also. Christians know joy and also despair. Listen what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1 verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Another version says, you've been distressed by various trials. Friends, a lot of us are in this boat. Someone said, you have never locked eyes with anyone who doesn't carry around an area of brokenness. You can be walking in the mall, minding your own business, and you look at someone and someone will look at you. No, you're not alone in how you feel. That person too is struggling. Where does it come from? Well, let me suggest some ways. It could come from family, the family of origin, a dysfunctional family in which physical and emotional abuse ran rampant. Or maybe a lack of love, while craved, was never given. It could come from a broken marriage, one that is on the rocks now, or one that has already ended. It could come from a moral train wreck where you stared yourself into and now you carry the weight of guilt and shame. It could come from being rejected as a child, maybe due to being the one who didn't make good grades, the one who never was popular and was teased and bullied and now carries the relational scars to this day. It could come from a crisis of faith where you thought that God was loving and kind, but he allowed the unspeakable to invade your life. It can come from the guilt created by some sinful act or habit or addiction. Everyone, say, I beg your pardon. No, you too. Everyone is broken, somehow, somewhere, including you. I don't know where you are broken. I don't know how you are broken. I don't know how long you felt broken. I only know that you are a human being. And you have some broken places. So do I. So where is God in our brokenness? Is he only for the holy? The ones who have it all together? The ones with perfect credit scores, tension-free marriages, valedictorian children, successful careers? Or is he the God of the grieving, the confused, the beaten, the failures? Is he the God of the weak, the doubting, the abused, the lonely, the rejected? Do you have a God? Do we have a God of the broken? Yes, friends. The Bible is clear. And it runs through every page, every event, every story, every lesson in it. In Max Lucado's book, Facing Your Giants, he asked this here, have you ever given up, been in a slump? Most of us have. Goliath owns a slump gun, a custom design 12 zillion scope. It fires not bullets, but sadness. It takes not lives, but smiles. It afflicts not flesh wounds, but faith wounds. Relationships sour, skies darken and billow, your nights defy the sunrise. You've been slumped. You feel like you're on your last stand. The good news, friends, is this. God's word offers us tremendous help to deal with our battle to stay encouraged. You say, Keith, I can't relate to anything you said now because right now I'm dancing on the ceiling, buddy. Everything is just honky-dory. Be careful, you know what? A phone call can change that. The scriptures teach that God intends for you to enjoy life. You don't have to let life's challenges overwhelm you. God wants to help you to face life with confidence and enthusiasm. He wants you to be encouraged, and he wants you to experience a happy life. I'm not saying that you won't experience any trouble if you follow Christ. I'm saying God wants to help you stay encouraged in spite of your trouble. There are many verses in Scripture that teach that God wants you to have joy and enjoy life. In 1 Timothy 6 verse 17b in the New Living Translation, it says, God richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. You don't have to feel guilty about enjoying God's blessings. That's what he gives them to you for. John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The New Living Translation says, I've come to give life, life in all its fullness. If you're going to experience God's joy and fullness, we are going to have to overthrow the things that compete for our love of life. Things like unbelief, doubt, fear, and guilt. Today, friends, we will look at what the Bible says about being able to handle the rough spots. So what do you do when dark days confront you? How do you stay encouraged? How do you stay strengthened? Perhaps the greatest Bible example of how to do so is David. In the Psalms, I am amazed at how he starts writing a song, right? While he is discouraged. When you read the first, he sounds down in the dumps, right? But by the end of that same song, he is encouraged. How does he do this? He learned how to see the light in dark days. There are times in David's life when it was hard for him to love life, when extreme stress confronted him, and when problems piled up, even before solutions to the previous problems presented themselves. And like Andrew Brunson, I am sure that David must have had a thought now and again running through his mind. Where are you, God? Why are you so far away? Let me give you some background to our text today, which is in 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 to 8. For over 7 years, listen, David was running for dear life. From who? His own king, King Saul, who was envious of him, who hunted him down to kill him. Saul had tried to kill David 16 times. Saul was so eaten up with the envy and paranoia that he mistakenly thinks David wants to steal his throne. So he tries to take David's life on several occasions. David has to flee to the nations of the Philistines, or some people say Philistine. He had to go to the enemy with a group of his friends, fellow soldiers. They go to the Philistines, the enemy of Israel, where him and his soldiers fight for the Philistines as mercenaries. But one day the Philistines tell David and his fellows, hey, we are going to attack Israel. We're not going to ask you to come with us to kill your own people. So you guys go home. Go home. And when they arrived in their temporary home in Ziglag, a place called Ziglag, they find that the Amalekites, another enemy, had raided their town, had burnt their houses down to the ground, and taken their wives and children hostage. Can you imagine? You know, David had two wives. I don't know what he was thinking, but anyway. His two wives are Ahinoam, whose name in Hebrew means delight. The other wife's name was Abigail, and whose name in Hebrew means joy. So David, in more ways than one, he lost his delight and joy. David and his men were already tired and hungry. They were fighting alongside the Philistines. Those people were enemies, but they were fighting together against other enemies. Yeah, these hungry, tired men, they thought they're coming home to the welcome and warmth of their families to relax, to rest, and good homemade food. But instead, they come home to the shocking scene of emptiness, desolation, and loss. These strong, muscular men, warriors, these grown men were so overwhelmed by their sorrow that the Bible says in verse 4, then David and the people, these are the fellows he was with, who were with him, lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. That was a sad day, friends. That was a bad day. It was hard to love life on that day. These strong men cried until they couldn't cry anymore. And perhaps, friends, you have had days like that. Days when the sun refused to shine. Days when your heart aches so much that you wish you were someone else. Or you wish you were somewhere else. But wait! Though it doesn't seem possible, friends, things get even worse for David. Let's pick up the story in verse 6a. Now David was distressed. He had no more tears. He was crying. Now David was greatly distressed for the people, these soldiers here, these buddies. They were speaking about, let's stone him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Can you beat that? Author and pastor Dale Ralph Davis writes, here is a shocking and disturbing picture for God's people. Are there not times when you think it cannot get any worse? Well, 1 Samuel 30 says, yes, it can. There are times when you conclude that your life, your present trouble, is the last straw. You simply cannot take any more. And then comes Ziglag. The last straw after the last straw. Sometimes you are tempted to add another line to Psalm 30 verse 5 we learned when we were little. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And you're tempted to add another line that says, and disaster strikes the next afternoon. Do you feel that sometimes? Do you feel that things cannot get any worse? And then they do. All God's people experience times of distress. You're not alone, brother. You're not alone, sister. These men look around. Can you imagine these muscular men with their swords and shields and what have you? They look around at what's left of their home smoldering on the ground. And as the smoke rises from the ashes, so does their hurt and anger. They need an outlet for their emotions. And guess what? They choose to take things out of their leader, David. Guess who in the church is always in trouble, no matter what? So they choose to take things out of their leader, David. This was one of the most difficult situations imaginable. David was away from his real home. He was chased by a mentally ill king. He was living like a tramp. He was forced to fight on the side of the enemy. And now his own men speak of mutiny by making him a scapegoat for their misery and threaten to kill him. What would David do? What do you do when you experience distress in your life? What do you do when you experience financial ruin, a crippling accident, or a destroyed relationship, or a life-threatening illness? What do you do? I want you to sense the desperation of this dark chapter in David's life. And one reason I want you to sense this is that you know that you're not alone when you're facing feelings of desperation. You are not alone. This was rock bottom for David. This was the end of the rope for David. David had nobody. His family wasn't there to console him, and his associates want to kill him. Most people would have been totally overwhelmed by this turn of events. Most people would have thrown in the towel and say, I'm walking away from this. I can't handle this anymore. But in one most dramatic 180-degree turn in history, the Bible says this. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Do you see that, friends? The correct response to significant distress in our lives is to do what David did. David encouraged, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Exactly what does that mean? David had a personal, listen, he didn't read it in a book. He had a personal relationship with God. David turned to the Lord, his God. Yes, David had faltered. Yes, David had temporary lack of faith. But when his back was against the wall, when he was in significant distress, he went to his heavenly Father. This is one of the reasons you've got to love the Word of God. Why you've got to love being a child of God. And listen quickly, friend, I'll throw this in. If you are not a child of God, then you ought to become one. David became so encouraged, so strengthened in the Lord. You know what he does? He says, hey, fellas, come here. They went to the Amalekites, whooped them soundly. I got other words I want to use, but anyway, gotta be careful. And he safely recovered family members who were kidnapped. Hey? You see us, a little group of, we'll thrash you guys. It's one of the most dramatic incidents. All right. I've got thousands of words here. If you look on my computer, it'll tell you about how many words I used. So, of a turnaround anywhere, it's a personal turnaround. Why? The Word of God gives us the key insight to how it was achieved. And let me tell you how it was achieved. David encouraged himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Amen. 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 He didn't go sit and sulk under the tree. He turned and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He made himself strong by remembering that the Lord is his strong tower. And I know Ellen is saying, and the righteous run in and they are safe. David encouraged himself by remembering that when I am weak, he is strong. David encouraged himself by remembering that he gives power to the faint. He displays strength by remember that he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He supported himself by remembering, lo, he is with me always. He repaired himself by remembering that the Lord can renew my mind. He took care of himself by remembering that the Lord is my shepherd. He held himself up by remembering that I lift up my eyes to the hills, he asked. From whence come my help? And in the same breath, he gives the answer. Ha! My help comes from the Lord. Amen. He sustained himself by remembering. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. My cup runneth over. Friends, let me end. Max Lucado says, and I love this fellow's style of writing, how can you do it? How do you handle it when hope takes the last train and joy is nothing but the name of a girl down the street? When you are tired of trying, tired of forgiving, tired of hard weeks, of hard-headed people, how do you manage your dark days when you handed a startling scenario of alarming proportions? How do you not only maintain your equilibrium, but also become so strong, so courageous, that you take off after the enemy? Even though you're weak and hungry and tired, and you thrash the enemy soundly. How do you encourage yourself in God to be a winner when everyone and everything around you sounds out the message that you are a loser? When even family and friends aren't willing to or able to encourage you, which is the precise situation David was in, how do you encourage yourself? Well, David said, guess what? He says, I encourage myself in the Lord. Amen, friends. God wants you to identify with David, not only in his sorrow, but also in his victory. Let me end with one verse for you. God says, Isaiah 41:10. So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This promise from God is not just for David or for Isaiah or Paul. This promise from God is for us. Amen.
Amen.
No matter what adversity you face, we can find strength in God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, there are those here this morning who said, man, Keith prepared this whole sermon just for me. Well, lots of us are saying that, Lord. And I thank you for this. I pray that you would help everyone here to turn to you, Lord, during our hard times, and to encourage and strengthen ourselves in you. Bless our church. Bless our church family. Everyone, Lord, from the little ones to the older ones. We love you, Lord. And we ask that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen.